Chapter 14. The Profound Knowledge of the Three Gunas. Verses 1 and 2.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Param Bhuya Pravakshyami Jnananam Jnanamuttamam Yajnatva Munaya Sarve Param Siddhim Mitogataha Idam Jnana Upashritya Mama Sadharmyam Agataha Sargepi Nopajayante Pralaye Navyathanticha.
The Blessed Lord said, "Again I shall teach you the transcendent knowledge, the highest of sciences, knowing which all meditators have gone from here to supreme adepthood. Resorting to this knowledge, reaching homogeneity with me, they are not born even at the new cycle of creation, nor do they suffer at dissolution." Having described the field of action and the knower of the field, Sri Krishna now leads Arjuna beyond the spheres of the field, so that he can attain supreme knowledge. The knowledge that fulfills the purpose of life and leads one to completeness is considered to be the highest knowledge. There are many steps to that supreme knowledge, the final stage of attainment being complete liberation. When the self is realized, the aspirant no longer fears birth or death. Here, Sri Krishna describes that state that is beyond life here and hereafter. He says that when the universe returns to its primordial state after its dissolution, there is manifestation again. But the realized being remains unaffected by both annihilation and manifestation. He is one with Atman and is not subject to change, death, and rebirth. He has reached a state of immortality that gives him freedom from all bondage. Verses 3 and 4.
Mama yonir mahadbrahma tasmin garbham dadham yaham sambhavaha sarva bhutanam tato bhavati bharata sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavanti yaha tasam brahma mahad yonir aham bija pradapita.
My Maya is the womb, Yoni, identical with me, who am the great Brahman. I impregnate that. From there the birth of all beings occurs, O descendant of Bharata. All the forms that arise in all the species, O son of Kunti, I, Brahman, are their seed-giving father, the great origin, Yoni. The Supreme Self is self-existent and is the father of all, and Prakriti is the mother of the entire universe. The Supreme Lord sows its seed in Prakriti, from which are born and arise all beings. Thus the whole universe manifests. Every aspirant should know and remember that his vessel of life contains the seed of the Supreme Lord. He is the child of the Lord, and just as a child, he only needs to allow the seed to grow so that he becomes the father. When the student becomes aware of this truth, that the supreme imperishable seed of eternal life is already within him, he makes sincere efforts to allow it to grow. Then he attains godhood. The human being eventually becomes divine. Verses 5 through 9.
Satvam rajas tama iti gunaha prakriti sambhavaha. Nibhadnanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. Tatra satvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukha sangena badnati jnana sangena chanagha. Rajo ragatmakam viddhi krishna sanga samudbhavam tannibadnati kaunteya karma sangena dehinam. Tamastvajnanajam viddhi mohanam sarvadehinam Pramada alasya nidrabhis tannibadnati bharata. Satvam sukhe sanjayati rajah karmani bharata. Jnanam avrityatu tamaha pramade sanjayatyuta.
Satva, rajas, tamas. These attributes born of Prakriti bind the immutable body-bearer in the body, O Mighty Armed One. Of these, Sattva, illuminator, and healthy because of its immaculateness, binds through the attraction of pleasure, as well as the attraction of knowledge, O Sinless One. Know Rajas, to have the nature of attraction and color, producing craving and attachment. O Son of Kunti, it binds the body-bearer through attachment to action. Know Tamas, to be born of ignorance, the stupefier of all body-owners. O descendant of Bharata, it binds through negligence, sloth, and sleep. Sattva causes attachment to happiness, Rajas to action, O descendant of Bharata. Tamas, however, veiling knowledge, causes attachment to inattention. All that we see here, there, and everywhere, all the objects of this universe have been manifested by the three gunas of Prakriti. With the help of these three gunas, Prakriti manifests the universe. Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas are distinct, yet they function in coordination with one another. The Sattva guna is peaceful, calm, and serene. Rajas is active, sensual, and full of desires, attachments, and enjoyments. Tamas produces sloth, inertia, confusion, delusion, and ignorance. The aspirant should always be vigilant, watching that Tamas and Rajas remain tamed with the help of Sattva, so that he can continue on the path undisturbed and undistracted. In order to accomplish this, earnest effort should be made, and one should meditate regularly. When Sattva is predominant, the aspirant remains serene and happy. Elevating thoughts dawn during that time. The Sattva quality is full of delight, enlightening, and very helpful for maintaining mental and emotional equilibrium. Without it, psychosomatic imbalances that lead to various kinds of disorders occur. When the Sattva quality is not predominant, one experiences a lack of calmness, happiness, and joy. The mind then remains in a state of turmoil, full of conflict and confusion. But when the Sattva quality is cultivated by the aspirant, he remains in a state of perpetual joy. Rajas creates raga, attraction or attachment, and dvesha, aversion or hatred, toward the objects of the world. One whose life is controlled by rajas remains continually active, for he constantly pursues the objects of pleasure. He is never satisfied and is always seeking new sources of pleasure. That way of being can lead to hypertension and many other diseases and does not allow the student to discipline and control himself. Often the student functions under the sway of unconscious habits of a rajasic nature and acts without knowing and understanding why he is doing so. Criminals, when interrogated, confess that they knew they should not have acted in the way that they did, but that they committed their offenses out of habit. It is rajas that led them to act and to create a division within and without. So even when they know what to do, they cannot act on that knowledge. The conflict that is created within by rajas leads to serious crimes, and crime is a disease that needs to be treated. Because of mistakes in the social order, either at home or in school, many people do not get proper attention and education. As a result, they form habits that are injurious to themselves and others. Rajas can also be directed positively and can lead one to be creative and constructive. It is an active force, and if properly utilized, it can do tremendous good for both the individual and mankind. Tamas is sloth and inertia. It produces ignorance and destroys the sense of discrimination. It creates delusion, and then one cannot decide things on time. Thus it leads to inaction. A lazy aspirant remains in a state of sleepiness and lethargy, and in such a state of mind the aspirant goes through negative withdrawal. For him, life is full of gloom. He does not experience joy or delight. Such people become fat and flabby and are prone to disease. Tamas leads one to many illnesses. Tamasic people become passive and suffer from all the diseases related to passivity. They do not want to move. They remain in a semi-conscious state. They are controlled by negative emotions. They are depressed, dependent, and helpless. Life becomes burdensome for them. The entire universe is a drama enacted by the gunas. The three gunas exist in everything, including all human beings. They are the motivating force in the drama of life. Almost everywhere, one guna is predominant and the other two are relatively dormant. They are hardly ever in a state of equilibrium. Equilibrium is experienced only by those sadhakas who practice physical, mental, and spiritual discipline. Verses 10 through 13.
Rajas tamas chabi bhuya sattvam bhavati bharata. Rajas sattvam tamas chaiva tamas sattvam rajas tatha. Sarva dvareshu dehesmin prakasha upajayate jnanam yada tada vidyat vivruddham sattvam ityuta. Lobha pravritir arambaha karmana mashamah spruha. Rajas yetani jayante vivrudde bharatarshabha. Aprakasho pravrittascha pramado moha evacha tamas yetani jayante vivruddhe kurunandana.
Overcoming rajas and tamas, sattva prevails, O descendant of Bharata. Rajas prevails, overcoming sattva and tamas. Similarly, tamas prevails, overcoming sattva and rajas. When the light of knowledge waxes in all the doors of this body, then one should know sattva to have increased. Greed, activity, the initiation of actions, absence of peace, competitiveness, these are born when rajas has increased, O bull among Bharatas. Absence of light, lack of initiative, inattention as well as stupefaction, these are produced when tamas has increased, O Prince of the Kurus. The qualities of sattva, rajas, and tamas dwell in every human mind. According to the circumstances, one is predominant and the other two are relatively inactive. When rajas and tamas remain latent, sattva predominates. And when sattva and rajas remain dormant, tamas comes to the fore. These strands of prakriti constantly intervene in human life. When sattva guna enables the light of knowledge to dawn, one becomes a sage. When rajas predominates, the desire for enjoyment victimizes the human mind. One then loses all sense of discrimination, and he gears his life toward the attainment of enjoyment. When both sattva and rajas remain latent, one goes to a state of pitifulness. He does nothing creative and thinks nothing useful. Some commentators and scholars say that one should constantly cultivate the sattva guna in order to attain a state of perfection, and others say one should have equilibrium and balance in the three qualities. There is yet another view that one should go beyond all three gunas. Actually, these are progressive steps in the inward journey toward perfection. In the beginning, the aspirant should not allow the tamasic quality to raise its head. He should prevent his mind from going to the grooves of negativity and passivity. Lack of confidence and lack of success in life lead one to such a negative state. In the next step, the student should learn not to waste his energy trying to attain the objects of pleasure. Such activity robs one of his inner strength, which is the very basis of human advancement and unfoldment. The student should abstain from actions and activities that lead him to a preoccupation with sense enjoyment. When he is able to tame and keep tamas and rajas under control, he starts to cultivate the sattva quality, a delightful and joyous state of mind that leads one in the path of meditation and contemplation. Without going through the process and establishing sattva-guna as the predominant current in one's life, meditation and contemplation remain mere techniques and have little value. When one breathes primarily from the left nostril, tamas holds sway. When he breathes through the right nostril, a rajasic state is evident. And when the breath flows equally through both nostrils, he is in a sattvic state. To establish sattva guna, the aspirant learns to apply sushumna with the help of pranayama techniques and meditation, in which mind and breath are well coordinated. Then both breaths begin flowing freely rather than one predominating over the other. In such a state, the mind experiences joy and likes to meditate instead of wanting to go out to the objects of the world. The mind then prefers to go to the inner recesses where it finds more delight and attains a state of equilibrium. After cultivating sattva-guna, the student progresses to the final state. Then, none of the gunas has any hold over him. When the student has realized the self, he has gone beyond all the gunas, and nothing affects him. His vision remains unalloyed, untainted, and pure. Each commentator has his own viewpoint. Here, Sri Krishna teaches Arjuna to cultivate sattva and then to perform his actions selflessly. Verses 14 and 15.
Yada sattve pravruddhe tu pralayam yati dehabhrut, tadottama vidam lokan amalan pratipadyate, rajasi pralayam gatva karma sangishu jayate, tatha pralinas tamasi mudayonishu jayate.
When a body bearer comes to death during an increase of sattva, then he attains the immaculate worlds of those of high knowledge. Upon dying in rajas, one is born among those who are drawn to action. Similarly, dying in tamas, one is born among stupefied species. Those who have realized the self, who are in the self, and who have become one with the self, are never reborn. Those rare sages become inseparably one with the supreme self and are beyond the influence of the gunas. They have crossed the mire of delusion and maya. They are liberated forever. If the sages who have cultivated sattva-guna prefer to stay in the highest of heavenly states when they depart from this mortal world, they can do so. And if they wish to be reborn, they take birth in the homes of wise parents. But those people who cast off their bodies under the predominance of rajas are reborn in the homes of those who are active in attaining worldly pleasures and the objects of the world. If tamas is predominant when one drops off the body, he is reborn in a dull, dumb, and desolate family, a family in which sloth and inertia rule. Verses 16 through 18.
Karmana sukrutasyahu sattvikam nirmalam phalam. Rajasastu phalam dukkham ajnanam tamasa phalam. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam, rajaso lobha evacha. Pramada mohau tamaso bhavato jnanam evacha. Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishthanti rajasaha. Jaganya gunavrittistha adho gacchanti tamasaha.
The fruit of a meritorious act is sattvic and stainless. But the fruit of rajas is pain, and the fruit of tamas is ignorance. Knowledge is born from sattva, and greed from rajas. Inattention and stupefaction, as well as ignorance, arise from tamas. The sattva dwellers rise upward. The rajasic remain in the middle. Tamasic ones, remaining under the influence of base qualities, move downward. How can one have a pleasant death and prepare himself for the life hereafter? Life is but a brief sentence, ending with a comma and no period. By analyzing life between the two commas of birth and death, the profound knowledge of the whole sentence is not grasped. The whole of life thus remains unknown. Death is a preparation for another birth, and death and birth are two transition points that mark the next step in the path of light. Life should be a preparation for the never-ending journey to the infinite. Those who perform good actions without attachment to the fruits of their actions are called sattvikas. Their actions and fruits are totally dedicated to the whole of mankind, and they are liberated from the bonds and ties of karma. Even after dropping their mortal bodies, they are born again to perform more actions, for actions are like worship for them. They rejoice in being born again and again to breathe in eternal prayer and to perform their actions skillfully and selflessly. Actions performed in such a way are sattvic and liberating. But those who perform actions with selfish motivation are rajasic, and their actions lead to pain. Such people presume that death is painful and remain tormented by the fear of death. And those who are tamasic remain in the darkness of ignorance, completely dependent on fate. Fate leads them to a lowly rebirth. From sattva arises knowledge, from rajas desire is born, and from tamas comes ignorance. Those who have profound knowledge of sattva march upward toward the summit. Those who are rajasic can only go up so far and remain in the middle. Those who are tamasic are not aware of their path, their potentials, or the creative aspect of life. Verses 19 and 20.
Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashtanu pasyati, gunebhyascha param vetti, madbhavam soviti gacchati. Gunanetan atityatrin dehi deha samudbhavan, janma mrityu jara dukkhair vimukto mritamashnute.
When the seer observes no agents of action other than the gunas, and knows the transcendent beyond the gunas, he attains the state of being me. The body-bearer, transcending these three body-creating gunas, freed from the sorrows called birth, old age, and death, enjoys immortality. The perfect seer, well established in the Supreme Self, knows that all the gunas create the play of the universe, and that Atman is not the doer. Therefore, he does not become involved and entangled in the play of the gunas. He knows that the real self remains above the gunas, unaffected and untouched. The body functions because of the three gunas, but the sage is free from identification with body consciousness. Therefore, he is free from death, birth, old age, and misery. He has already attained immortality. Verses 21 through 25.
Arjuna uvacha, kairlingai strin gunan etan atito bhavati prabho, kima acharaha katham chaitan strin gunan ativartate. Sri Bhagavan uvacha, prakasham cha pravrittim cha moham eva cha pandava, na dveshti sampravrittani, na nivrittani kankshati. Udasina vadasino gunair yona vichalyate, guna vartanta ityeva yova tishthati nengate. Samadukha sukha swastaha, samaloshtashma kanchanaha, tulya priya priyo dhiras tulya nindatma saunstutihi. Mana apamanayos tulyas tulyo mitrari pakshayoho, sarvarambha parityagi gunatita sauchyate.
Arjuna asked, with what characteristics is that one endowed who has transcended the three gunas, O Lord? What is his conduct? Having transcended the gunas, in what manner does he conduct himself? The Blessed Lord said, illumination, activity, as well as delusion, O Pandava. He is not adverse to these when they are operant, nor does he desire them when they have ceased. He who sits in neutrality is not moved by the gunas. He observes merely that they operate with one another, and does not respond. Alike to pain and pleasure, self-dwelling, beholding a lump of clay, stone, and nugget of gold as the same, holding the pleasant and unpleasant as equal, endowed with wisdom, alike to praise or censure, alike in honor and dishonor, equal to the friendly or hostile sides, renouncing all endeavor, he is said to have transcended the gunas. Arjuna wants to know how to recognize one who has gone beyond the gunas, and he asks how such a person behaves. Sri Krishna says that sattva emanates light, rajas, activity, and tamas, delusion. In all conditions, whether he is a success or a failure, the person who is sattvic remains content. Finally, he goes beyond all the gunas. He remains aloof and unaffected in all situations. In the midst of the play of the gunas, he is neither inspired by sattva nor angered by the play of tamas. No matter what happens, he remains undisturbed, knowing that all the plays and melodramas are arranged by the gunas. He is not imbalanced in either gain or loss. Sattva does not imbalance him, and he is not affected by the grief and sorrow created by rajas and tamas. He maintains his evenness equally in honor and dishonor. Observing such signs and symptoms, the aspirant can identify one who has risen above the play of the gunas. Verses 26 and 27.
Mamcha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate brahmanohi pratishtaham amrutasya vyayasya cha chashvatasya cha dharmasya sukasyaikantikasya cha.
And he who serves me with an undeviated yoga of devotion, fully transcending the gunas, he is fit to become Brahman. I am the fundament of the immortal and immutable Brahman, of eternal law, dharma, and of ultimate happiness. To cross the mire of delusion created by the three gunas, the aspirant needs to have one-pointed devotion and complete dedication to the Supreme Lord alone. Without purification of mind, single-minded devotion is not possible. And without single-minded devotion, one is not able to attain the highest Brahman. The Supreme Lord is the final abode. He is immortal and imperishable. He plans the eternal laws of Dharma. He is full of peace and bliss. Here ends the 14th chapter, in which the three gunas and the state beyond are explained.